thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for taking us through the year 2012. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for taking us through these first 6 days of the new year. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for giving us grace and strength to wait upon you. And Lord, we yet wait upon you for your word, your eternal word, your all-important word. What can we do without your word? Father, let your word come freely to us. Let your word shape on our life this year. Let your word dictate the pace and direction of all that we are going to do this year, whether as individuals or as families or even as a church. This morning we wait on you, Father. Please give us your word freely and make it a blessing to our souls in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, testify of Jesus, teach us his word, and remind us of those things that he had declared before. Thank you. For in Jesus' name we pray. This morning I'm speaking on looking ahead. And our text is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 2 to verse 4. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now I want us to look at this topic, looking unto Jesus, especially as we look into this main text this morning. And I have itemized it. First, in this passage, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 in particular, Jesus is called the author and finisher of our faith. But I say, as the author of our faith, Jesus is yet to finish what he started or authored in our lives. Whether we are talking about this year or we are talking about our lifetime altogether, if you think you are a finished product of Jesus, raise your hand. Or if you think God has finished with you, raise your hand. Can you see what I'm talking about this morning? The Bible calls him the author and finisher. Although he's called the finisher, as we are starting this new year, let us know that there are many things that Jesus is going to author in our lives. There are many things that Jesus is going to start, and which he is starting in our lives now. He's going to finish them. But it's going to take time. Let us allow him to finish them. But as of this morning, as we share, he has not finished them. There are some of those things that he has authored in our lives, that he will yet author in our lives, that it will take many years for him to finish. So that he will not just be the author of those things, he will also become eventually the finisher of those things. So the Bible says, let us continue to look unto Jesus, because he's the author. And because he's the one who has authored it, he's the one who is also going to be the finisher. Let me say to you this morning, Jesus is the author of Lifeline Bible Church. And Jesus, by the grace of God, is going to be the finisher. Let us allow him, the author of the work, to also be the finisher of the work. Listen to me. If you look at men, you will be discouraged. If you look at men, you will be weary. If you look at men, you will faint and you will give up. Don't look at anybody. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. As a pastor, I have learned over the years to look unto Jesus and not to be distracted and not to mind a lot of the times what certain people will say or what certain people will do. Let me tell you some stories to illustrate this message. When I newly came to Lagos in 1989 and I was asked to start to lead the house fellowship that was just starting then, we were very few, But as few as we were, you know, there were not too many people to commit things to. And there was a brother who was the secretary. I myself, I was fresh in Lagos. And I was looking for somewhere to squat. The first 2 weeks that I spent in Lagos, I was sleeping and waking and working in the warehouse of the company that I worked for. And eventually, I had to squat with this brother who was also serving as our secretary in the house fellowship. Myself and this brother were living together. I was squatting with him. And this brother's wife was in Ibadan. And his wife would always come periodically to Lagos. The brother was a teacher. And we're together. It was a nice fellowship. It was a wonderful time. And we're gradually moving forward. Until one day, when a scandal broke out. The wife of this brother came to visit Lagos. And she went to visit her in-laws, who were living in Lawansin area, in Surulere. We were living at Alagbado. And you know, as a good wife and a good daughter-in-law, she started to help them to take care of the house, to sweep, to clean, to dust the house. And as she was cleaning and dusting the house, she stumbled on certain albums of photographs. And she carried some of them, and as she was flipping through, she stumbled on the wedding album of photographs of her husband. And meanwhile, they didn't even wed. You know, if they did anything, maybe just the traditional one, and maybe they went to the registry. But this brother never told his sister that she was ever married before and was divorced. As a young pastor, I was a bachelor, just starting out in life. It was too big a scandal for me to hold or to handle. I had to refer their case to my big bosses in Ibadan then. And the church had to take a stand and declare their relationship null and void, and so on and so forth. Automatically, the rest is history, because the brother ran away, and I've not seen him for many, 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 many years. Why am I saying this? As a pastor, I have met with lots of disappointments. As a pastor, I have learned that the only way and the best way to be focused is never to lose sight of Jesus. I have met all kinds of human beings. That was at the very beginning. Maybe God allowed that to happen to give me a baptism of fire, to prepare me that there are challenges ahead. Let me tell you another story. Some of you will know this one, because it was not too far away from 2005 before we left phase one. One of the conference pastors in Ibadan called me. You know, when church is branching out and you are spreading, one of the things that helps the rapid growth is the networking of those branches. Somebody can give his life to Christ in Ibadan and comes to live in Lagos, and they will direct him from Ibadan to Lagos. Somebody can come and visit in Lagos from Ilorin and will direct him or her to Ilorin, and will begin to feed all these branches from all sides. So there was this brother, not that he just gave his life to Christ, he felt God wanted him to work with the church. And when he spoke with the conference pastor in Ibadan, he said he had a burden for Lagos. And he said, well, if you have to go to Lagos, then Pastor Adejobi will have to be the person that you work with. So they gave him a note to come to me. And we started to relate. And I started to give him opportunities to minister at the pulpit. Then this brother started to tell me that actually his real vision and burden was for UK. That he was trusting God to use Lagos as a springboard for UK. I said, well, for UK, I am not in charge. I can only recommend you to those in UK, but I cannot recommend you if you don't work with me for some time. So I started to relate with him and to give him the chance here and there. But I started to notice that this brother really talks about his wife. And his wife was in Ilorin. And the thing got to a crescendo one day when he told me that his wife had a miscarriage. And I sympathized. Sorry, oh, bro. Sorry. Unfortunately, it was not the era we had phone. We couldn't reach the woman. Up to now, I never met that lady. But I was watching. And I was shocked that this brother never made any move to go and see his wife who just had miscarriage. And in my characteristic manner, I called him one day and I said, "You are a wicked man. Do you know what it is for a woman to be pregnant and miscarry?" I said, "You're a wicked man." You know, initially I challenged, I said, "Bro, how are you keeping yourself? You are living in Lagos. Your wife is in Ilorin. You've been here for several months." You know, it made me feel that I was the one that was carnal. "Pastor, what is an intimacy? I have matured. I've grown those." I was looking at him like magic. "Why did you marry? If you know you want to be a celibate." But when the case of miscarriage happened, I told him, I said, "If you don't go to see your wife, I will not allow you to minister in this church again." Maybe he went. But not too long after that, a scandal broke out. Thank God, it was the same pastor who recommended him to me that eventually discovered the scandal. Because that pastor now had to begin to travel to UK and eventually became the national overseer for UK. And so a sister from the same church in UK, this brother had been connecting with that sister and planning wedding with that sister. And eventually that sister had to come to Nigeria for introduction. So meeting our conference pastor, "Ibadan, why are you here in Nigeria?" "Sister, I'm planning. There is a brother here who has this." And that's why some of you, you go behind your pastor to scheme all kinds of things. Listen, they say, "Conny man die, Conny man go bury him." The Bible says, in the midst of multitude of counselors, there is safety. What is it that we haven't seen? What is it that we have not heard? Don't make yourself another casualty in church. I will continue to warn. The only thing that saved that sister was that she saw her pastor, and the pastor probed into it. "Who is the brother? Can I meet the brother?" And then she brought the brother, and lo and behold, it was this brother. "Ah, bro, so, are you not married?" And the pastor had to call me. "This brother that I introduced to you, that I sent to Lagos, please, I dissociate from this and this and this and this for the things he did." And this man of God ran away from the church. Another thing that I noticed for the time that he was with me, he was always leaving his Bible in the church. He never carried his Bible away from the church. He will not come to the church with a Bible, and he will leave the church not carrying the Bible. You see why it has been written here, number 2 here, on the list of the things you must do this year. You must carry your Bible with you to read. Everywhere you go this year, if you are in a bus, read the Bible. If people see that you are reading the Bible, all those yeye talk they engage in inside the commercial bus, they will not engage you in it. In your office, if people are always seeing you with the Bible, they will not involve you in certain things. Take your stand with God this year. I had every reason to suspect that brother. Instrumentalists, some of you come to church without Bible. It is a bad practice. If you have ever done it, let year 2012 be the end of it. This is a church. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do outside the word of God. If you don't respect the word of God, then we can never ever walk together. Neither can we share fellowship together. Even God says, "Unto this man will I look, he who has a contrite heart and trembles at my word." God himself said in the book of Psalms, he said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Young men, young women, there are certain signs and symptoms that you will see in the life of anybody who knows God and who loves God. So eventually, and prior to that time, this brother took a loan from the church which he was servicing. When the scandal blew out, he ran away. And instantly, I went and carried his Bible. His Bible is a monument. It's still in our house. Evidence against him forever. Later, he sent somebody to the church office. Sister Tomi was my secretary that time. And Tomi came to me to say, brother, so-so-so has come. I have sent somebody to come and retrieve his Bible. I said, tell that person to tell him that his Bible is with me. If he wants his Bible back, he should come and collect it from who? Me. There are certain things people can say at my back, but bring them to me. Since then, up to today that I'm preaching, this brother has not come for that Bible. All kinds of scandals, all kinds of things that can discourage you, that can make you to be weary, that can make you to give up the faith if care is not taken. This is why the Bible warns all of us. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. Time will fail me if I have to be telling you stories of the terrible scandals that I have found in the church over the years. Please don't look up to any man. Don't look up to any woman. Look up to Jesus. When this church was starting, that was the word God gave to me. And that is our watchword. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto who? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The one who has started the work is faithful, and he will complete it in Jesus' name. But listen to me. The word of God is the major means by which we look unto Jesus. And come to think of it, Jesus Christ himself said nobody has seen God before. We all say God, 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 God. We pray to God. We do everything to God. God, 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 God. Have you seen God before? Even those who lived long ago, Abraham, all of them, even Moses. Moses had to pray to God at the time. He said, God, show me your face. Show me your glory. And God said, nobody sees my face and live. God said, I'm going to do something for you. I will carry you in the cleft of my hand. And then I will turn my back. And then I will pass. You will see my backside, but you will not see my face. But when Jesus Christ, God the Son, came in the flesh, that was one of the reasons why the Jews, the Jewish leaders, they persecuted him so. They said, how can you say you are greater than Abraham? He said, this God you are serving, you've never seen him before. Nobody has seen God before. It is the Son who declares the Father. Now we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Let me again challenge you. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit before? If you have ever seen the Holy Spirit before, raise your hand. All that the Holy Spirit will do, Jesus said, he will not declare anything of himself. He said, he will testify of me. That is Jesus. He told his disciples, he said, many things I want to still teach you. Many things I want to declare to you. But there is no time. He said, don't worry, I'm going to send the Comforter after I'm gone. He said, the Comforter, he will teach you all things. And he will remind you of the things I have taught, in case you forget. In Matthew 28, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It is the word of Jesus. In fact, John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, where the Bible says we should try every spirit, it says, no spirit calls Jesus Christ accursed. Any spirit that does that is a demon. When Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, he said, if any man, if anybody, even an angel, brings any teaching, any doctrine that is contrary to these things that we have received from Christ, which we declare unto you, he said, let such people be accursed. It is that serious. You might have been joking with the Bible before. This year, I don't joke with the Bible anymore. It is the word of life. It is the constitution of life. It is what can save you from eternal damnation. People who go astray, a lot of time will always come with a revelation, a vision, a dream. Every revelation, every vision, every trance, every dream, every manifestation of the gift of the Spirit in the church must be subject to the Word of God. The Word of God is the only means and the major means by which we try the operation of the Spirit in the church. Because the best the Holy Spirit will do is to uphold what Jesus has said, is to testify of Jesus, is to teach us what Jesus is releasing. Do you know that this Jesus is still coming back? I hope you know he's still coming back. The Holy Spirit is to prepare us for his return. He's our guardian. He's our friend. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He is to remind us. But we must never remove our focus from Jesus. He's the author and the finisher. He's all in all. The Bible says God has highly exalted this Jesus and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and all tongues confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We may not fully understand a lot of things about this Jesus, but don't worry. The Bible says when he returns and we see him, we shall be like him and we shall know him as we are known. That is number one, the author and finisher of our faith. Number two, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus Christ is called Alpha and Omega. He has just proved himself that way. Why are we talking about the beginning of a new year if an old year never ended? Just last week, Jesus was your Omega as year 2012 ended. And as you crossed over within a day, December 31st, he was the Omega. January 1st, he became the Alpha. December 31st, again this year, it will be Omega. January 1st, it will be the Alpha. Jesus, the Bible calls him Alpha and Omega. And Alpha and Omega means the beginning and the end. If he is the beginning, if he is the end, where are you? Where am I? All these things we call life is within Jesus. All these things we call life, whether you live for 70 years, or you live for 80 years, or you live for 90 years, or you live for 100 years, or you live for 110 years, or you live for 120 years, or even 150 years, all your 150 years, even for Methuselah that lived for 969 years, all his 969 years were within Jesus. What is 969 years compared with eternity? Eternity is forever and ever and ever. World without an end. All that we call our lifetime are within Jesus, because he is the Alpha and Omega. But listen to this. Although he has begun certain things in our lives, he is yet to bring them to an end. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is why we sing the song, he who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and is also the end. Hallelujah. Number three, in Matthew chapter 25, if you read from verse 1 all through to verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the bridegroom of the church. And listen again, although he had paid the dowry, an ultimate price for the church by shedding his blood on the cross at Calvary, Jesus is yet to come and take his bride. Can you imagine that? That is why if you are in courtship, and you begin to sleep with yourselves as fiancé and fiancée, it is a sin that is punishable by God. Abi, if you court for, even if it is 7 years, or 5 years, or 2 years, or 1 year, and in some cases, 6 months, and you fornicate, what about Jesus? Jesus has been in courtship for over 2,010 years. Do you know that? He paid the dowry the day he died on the cross, and he has not come to take the bride. You have not even paid the dowry. Because in this environment, people only pay the dowry, they do all those things, patapata, few months to wedding. Or most of the times, the weekend of wedding. In fact, it is now getting common. It is the same day they are going to wed. That is when they have the traditional engagement. And you say you cannot wait. You can't wait for 6 months. You can't wait for 1 year. You can't wait for 2 years. You can't wait for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years. What about Jesus, who has been waiting? He has already paid the dowry. You have not paid. If you are in courtship, wave your hand to the Lord. God bless you. I hope you are listening to me. You are not allowed, you are not permitted to sleep with one another. Have you paid dowry? But Jesus had paid dowry, and yet he has not come to take the bride. And a lot of us are taking laws into our own hands, and we are living recklessly, and we are not following the principles of the word of God. He is the bridegroom of the church, and is yet to take the bride. That is why you will know that although you are born again, you are not yet saved. Although you have been saved, yet you are not yet saved. I will come to that later. Severally in scripture, Jesus is called the Son of God. But Jesus, as the Son of God, is yet to take over the kingdom and eventually hand over the reign and rulership of all things to God the Father. I want us to see a passage of Bible. A lot of us, we skip it. Maybe some of us have never even taken note of it. Let's turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are going to read from verse 23 to verse 25. He is the Son of God. He is the heir apparent. He's to take over. But he hasn't taken over. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 23 to verse 25. I read. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. This is talking about resurrection. Then comes the end. Can you take note there? Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to who? To God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. This Jesus that the scripture is challenging you, don't look at anybody. Look at Jesus. Don't allow any brother in the church to discourage you. Don't allow any careless sister in church to discourage you. Continue to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one that is going to wrap up all the program of man since creation. That is why he's the Son of God. He will take over the rulership from Satan. And this passage says, after he has taken over, after he has reigned and ruled for 1,000 years on earth that no man has ever lived for, then he will deliver that dominion, that authority, that rulership to who? He will give it to his Father. That is why he's a son. He will deliver it to his Father. When I hear Pentecostal pastors, preachers, they talk about kingdom this, kingdom dominion, kingdom. You can't reign in another person's domain. If there is a dominion, there is a domain. The Bible clearly teaches this world is not our home. Any preacher that is teaching you that you are going to reign now is teaching heresy. This world is not our home. No believer, no follower, no disciple of Jesus can reign before Jesus himself reigns. Jesus is coming to reign, and we are going to reign with him. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, he said, endure hardness like a true soldier of the cross. He said, for if we suffer with him, now we are going to reign with him. That is why these prosperity preachings, they are from the pit of hell. They are a distraction to the saints. When we are supposed to be suffering with Christ, when we are supposed to identify with Christ, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What comes next? And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Go and look at all the Christians who are parading prosperity sermons. They don't want to suffer. Immediately, we brought that song into the church. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. That was when the church in this country started to derail. Can you now see how the enemy is chasing us from the north? Do you know that in the history of this country, it was said that Usmandan Fodio threw the Quran into the Atlantic Ocean and said that it's going to happen in this nation that Islam will spread from the north to Lagos. Long ago! And these people they are passing the baton from generation to generation. Generation to generation. You remove this head of state, another one takes over and he begins to pursue the same agenda. You remove this one as the president, another one takes over and he continues to pursue the same agenda. May our lives not be a disappointment to our God. And we who ought to endanger our lives for the sake of the gospel, who ought to put our lives in jeopardy because of this gospel, what are we chasing after? The mundane things of life. We want money. We want to buy a car. We want to buy a house. We want to marry and have many children. And many of our pastors and preachers are calling all kinds of meetings to turn the church into a shopping center. I must marry this year. I must have my babies this year. One man even called himself the father of 1 million babies. I don't care whatever they call themselves. What these people are teaching, they are not biblical. Except you yourself, you have derailed. Let's go back to scripture. The Bible says concerning the saints of old in Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of their testimony, and by not loving their lives to the point of death. Jesus Christ, our Savior, he said to us, anyone amongst you who wants to save his life, you will lose it. It is only those who lose their lives, who put their lives into risk because of the gospel of this kingdom, that shall save it. Are we not losing our life? You go to church, you pray, 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 you raise your hand, you collect anointing oil, you do this, you do that, you buy the car, you get the job, you marry, you have the children. One day, the Midianites come from nowhere, burn all those things, burn the vehicles, kill as many people as possible. And many Christians are taken to their heels. A brother joined this church last year. He's not here now because his family is not in Lagos State. He was a banker. He was working with Echo Bank. And he said, he was describing to me some of these things that are going on. He said, apart from the religious side of it, one of the things that fuels all those crises is that people loot. They loot this. He said, when they started to feel that the crisis was going to happen, he took certain things and went to the park and sent them down south to his wife. He said, apart from those things that he sent down through the park, he said he had two vehicles, a Toyota Camry and then a Mercedes Benz. He said the Camry, he sold it for 600,000. The Mercedes Benz, I think he said he sold it for about 60,000 or 90,000. He said they will tell you, people who will negotiate, if you don't sell now, this thing, you will eventually forfeit it. He said during the crisis, people enter into people's homes, all the things you claim, name it and claim it, raise your hand and say, this is my year, I'm moving forward, they will come. That is if you survive. Even if you survive, you will have run inside the bush longest time. Shall we say we should fast first week of the year? Some of you refuse to fast. That one, you will fast by. You will refuse to come out of the bush for days, if not weeks. This brother told me, as they were running, they were stepping over human corpses just for dear life. He said, apart from the goods he could send to his wife and those two vehicles he sold, he could not remove anything from his house. He said, when he succeeded in coming to Lagos, he said, it was from Lagos he sent the letter of resignation. You can keep your job. Friends, we must return back to God. The kingdom has not been delivered to Jesus. When it is delivered to Jesus, he will reign. And we are going to reign with him. That is when we can now call ourselves King's Kids. All those stickers where people write King's Kids, they are fake King's Kids. Now we are King's servants. Now we are King's laborers. Jesus Christ said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can walk. The book of Proverbs says, anybody who loves pleasure shall be poor. Anybody who sleeps when you are supposed to be plowing, he will suffer at harvest time. Read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus Christ said, it will be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for rich men to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If now, when we are supposed to be working for God, when we are supposed to serve Jesus, we are busy taking all kinds of things that are not even necessary for the work, Jesus did not show us that example. Please, let us look unto Jesus. Number 5. Again, severally in scripture, Jesus Christ is called the Savior. But Jesus, as the Savior of the world, is yet to give us eternal salvation or redemption. Let me ask you this morning, if you are sure and you are certain that you have eternal salvation, raise your hand. Those of you who raise your hands, you are wrong. None of us has it yet, because we are still living in a temporary phase. There is nothing like once saved, forever saved. There are 3 types of salvation. Number 1, we are saved. Number 2, we are being saved every day. Number 3, we shall be saved ultimately. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and verse 9 says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is the accomplished work of salvation on the cross. By grace you are saved. But listen to me, the fact that you are born again today does not mean you are born again tomorrow. The fact that you are born again in 2012 does not mean you are born again in 2013. The fact that you are born again in January does not mean that you are born again in February. That is why every time we come together in church, one of the things we should be doing is to cross-examine one another and ask, bro, are you still in the faith? Even in criminology, crime management, they say once you have seen somebody for over a period of long time, don't assume that that person is still the old person that you used to know. That is why many people have gone to jail innocently, because they trusted their friends. Bankers know you dare not trust somebody as a banker. You say, it's my brother. It's my brother. And so you gave him loan without collateral. It's my neighbor. And so you gave him loan without collateral. It's my friend. We used to be old schoolmates. If in crime management there is nothing like that, how much more in the faith? And that is why I shout and scream every now and then. Once I see a pattern of behavior among certain brethren, I have seen all manner of fake Christians. And the Bible confirms it is a mixed multitude. The church will continue to be a mixed multitude until Jesus comes. Only Jesus, when he comes, will separate the fake from the genuine. He will separate the goats from the sheep. Listen, brethren, we should continue to examine one another. When we see one another, say, bro, are you still in the faith? Sister, are you still in the faith? Don't assume because that brother speaks in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Anybody can speak in tongues. Nollywood stars are speaking in tongues in films now. Don't you see? That is the level that we have reduced spiritual things. Friends, this year, let us help one another. Iron sharpens iron. So a man draws to the countenance of his friend. That is the only ground of safety. You are born again, congratulations. But you are only born again as of today. You must renew your born again certificate every day. That is why the Bible says, work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. That is what the church has taken for granted. We now see many pastors who are sexually immoral. We now see many church leaders who cannot be trusted anymore with money. Severally, I meet unbelievers who will tell me, all these, you pastors, you people. I say, no, not me. I hear all kinds of reports. Listen, if you're a member of Lifeline Bible Church, let me beg you,
this year, let your life back up the profession of your faith. Let your life be a testimony of what we teach and preach in this place. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. We are not here for play. We are here to show the world that some people are serious about this issue of serving God. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 verse 30, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. It is not everybody who starts a race who finishes it. Look at your own life. Even if you are ordinary 10 years old, maybe you know some of your friends who have died. How much more if you are 20 years old or if you are 30 years old? Remember how many of some of your friends who have died. The same way, spiritually, we may start the year together, but please, let us run the race together. Let us have the end in view. Let none of us be careless this year. Let none of us be reckless this year. Let none of us be over assuming, thinking because we fasted for 7 days and so what. I can only vouch for you today if you are standing in the faith. I don't know what you are or what you may turn to tomorrow. And so that is why the Bible says we should not forsake the gathering together of one another. Don't just disappear. You know, all kinds of crookedness, all kinds of games people play in church. If a spinster becomes pregnant out of wedlock, she's likely to disappear from the church, from the denomination where she worships, so that they won't know. People will call, people will visit. Sister, why are we not seeing you? Sister, what is going on? Sister, such people will find flimsy excuses. And somebody looked at my face this way. Somebody looked at me. Don't backslide, though. And if truly she's pregnant, she may relocate out of town, relocate to another church. By the time she will be showing up in that church, they may go there and show up as Mr. and Mrs. Who are they deceiving? Themselves. On the resurrection morning, when Jesus Christ returns to reign, he will remove you and tell you that you are not part of the church he has come for. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Life may be rough, life may be tough, some people may be killed. Please, let us endure, because it is only as we endure to the end that we shall be saved. So, there is no need to rejoice or celebrate yet until certain things happen. And what are they? Number one, the author must finish what he started. The Alpha also must become the Omega. Number three, the bridegroom must take his bride. Don't rejoice until the Son of God has taken over power and eventually hands over the reign and rulership of all things to the Father. Don't rejoice until, number five, the Savior comes to take us, his saints, home to heaven, and we are saved ultimately and eternally. If you are rejoicing before then, you are a fool. And that is the folly of prosperity preachers. Reigning like the king's kid. Buying jets. Buying all kinds of things. Things that Jesus will never do. Meanwhile, the work Jesus gave them is suffering. In the church, they'll be shouting, please, take care of your bag, oh, because you don't know who is beside you. Are we running the church the way Jesus Christ wants the church to be run? Are those ones brothers? Are those ones sisters? You cannot trust a pastor with a little girl. What type of a generation is this generation? That pastors are now pedophiles. Pastors are now homosexuals. Jesus will reject this brand of Christians. As I begin to close, for all this to happen, and in the meantime, while we are waiting for all this to happen, number one, you must continue to look unto Jesus. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. You must look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for spiritual upliftment and guidance. This year, if you are confused, go into your bedroom. Pray. Spend time to meditate on the word of God. And say, Father, as I meditate on your word, the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wait on the Lord.
and he will speak to guide you. He will lift up your spirit. David said, my feet were almost gone when I look at the prosperity of the wicked. And truly, wicked people are prospering in this country. Very wicked people. Through bribery and corruption, through lying, through cheating, through defrauding, through all kinds of fraud. If you look at them, you'll be discouraged. David said, until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then the Lord opened his eyes. And he realized that God has set those wicked people in slippery places. That is why for about 2 years now, we've been taking that burning hell thing all over the place. The reason why Jesus Christ said we should go and preach the gospel is not so that this place can become 5,000 in 1 year or 2 years. No. He says, so that it will serve as a witness to every nation. Nobody will say he was not told. Nobody will say she didn't hear. That theme alone will be the witness of God against many who have watched it. I love the way Jesus will always say. He says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Anybody who goes to hell will live in a state of eternal regret. Ah, how come I made this type of mistake? Now, they may be making younger. We are begging. We are pleading. We are preaching. We are praying. Don't worry. Whether souls gave their lives to Christ or nobody even gave their lives to Christ, we are commanded to preach. Preach as a witness. That is why we are called witnesses. Hallelujah. Look unto Jesus. Looking at anyone else at a time like this is dangerous. Jesus is our model and perfect example. Number two, we must keep our eyes and focus on the ultimate goal and glory also. Remember, victory, our crown, our joy is still ahead and yet to be won. You have not won the victory. You have not been given any crown yet. Whatever joy you have now is temporal. It is when Jesus Christ comes that is going to give us eternal joy. Don't let us focus on temporal things and we begin to lose eternal things. Let's be careful. Number three, there is a cross we must carry and endure. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the hope that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. You too, you have a cross to carry. If you don't want to carry your cross because of the pollution from prosperity preachings, you look at yourself and you say, why is my own case different? Why is everybody marrying and I'm not getting married? Why is everybody having babies and I don't have my own? Why is everybody coming to church to come and show the car they've just bought and me? It's as if God has forgotten me. Why is it this? Why is it that? Why is it that? That is another harm that teaching is doing to faithful saints whose lot may involve suffering. It makes it hard for them. And only God knows how many of them are fainting. How many of them are giving up the faith? How many of them are rebelling against the will of God for their lives? How many of them are giving up and backsliding and turning their back against God? Only God knows how many Christians have taken up jobs that they shouldn't have taken up in the first place because they want to be like their brothers and sisters. Because they want to prosper like every other person. When we get to heaven, you will see those things and you will weep. Our victory is still ahead. Our crown is still ahead. Our joy, full joy, is still ahead. Number four, bearing the cross is shameful or reproachful. We must be ready to bear this shame or reproaches with Christ. Is there any reproach in your life? Some of these unbelievers, they will look at you and they will run their mouths. You carry the Bible. You go to church. You pray. How come that your God has not helped you? How come that your God has not delivered you? Imagine John the Baptist, the only child of his parents. They even gave birth to him in a very old age. He suffered poverty. He suffered lack. And he was arrested. He was killed violently in the prime of his youth. And anybody could ask, and where was God? If you are asking this moment, where is God? Because of certain things that you have to pass through. Maybe it is for your sake that God is sending this word. Don't give up. Only God knows how many women have given up to sell their bodies in frustration because of what they are going to eat. They say, of what use is this face? I have tried to keep myself, but God understands, man must work. Please, Retrace yourselves back to God.
Number 5, sinners and the ungodly people generally around us in the world will contradict and mock us and make our walk with God difficult. We must endure their contradiction and mockery. Imagine a pastor in the north and Almajeris will gather around him. You know, initially, even you yourself as a pastor, you'll be wishing, you'll be praying, you'll be wishing that a miracle will happen, Abi. That God should just remove you. That you should just disappear. If you are not careful, at that dying moment of your life, you can backslide. At that dying moment of your life, you can say very foolish things against God. And then they tear your clothes. And then they slap you. And then they drag you. And maybe they begin to stab you. You begin to say, God, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Lord, Lord, Lord. How many of us can pass through that? Because a lot of us, our faith is now damaged. And we don't know it. We must endure this contradiction and the mockery of unbelievers. And imagine, by the time they kill 3 pastors and maybe 30-something members, they jubilate. Hey, hey, hey. They go there. They loot all their properties. Now we all have answers, Abi. They remove all the answers. They remove everything. Enter their houses. These are the things. Jesus suffered it. He showed us example. And the Bible says, all of us should follow in his footsteps. But now, the church is derailing, derailing, and derailing. And the teaching of suffering is now so strange to our ears. Whenever any preacher mentions suffering, say, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. Be careful that with your own hands, you don't remove your name from the book of life. Number 6. If we don't endure such contradiction and cruel mocking, we shall be discouraged, weary, faint-hearted, and eventually give up the faith. And finally, number 7. To make it to the end and overcome, ultimately, therefore, we must resist to the point of shedding our blood, if need be, striving against sin. Brethren, as I close, let me challenge you with certain facts about Islam. As Christians are becoming more and more permissive, can you notice that devotees of Islam are becoming more and more conservative? They fought, they started from the schools in Europe, that our children have every right to wear the hijab to school. Initially, the white people said, no way. Now, have they not given in? They have. In sports, last Olympic Games, they've been fighting it for years. We will not participate. We will never be part of it. Our women cannot dress the way your women are dressing, loosely, showing all their nakedness. Our women must be covered. Did they allow them or not? They allowed them. A sister was sharing a story with me about the last World Cup. Iran went to play a particular nation, and one man was given the most valuable player of that match from Iran. He was given an award. The most valuable player. You know, every match they give them. Do you know he rejected it? Why? Because that award was given by a brewery. Let the award be given by a hemp, Indian hemp manufacturing company. The modern Christian will come to church and testify. We are now being told that certain people who want miss this, miss that, are born again people. After going to display all their nakedness to the whole world, and only God knows what they've done with themselves. Brethren, this brand of Christianity we are beginning to embrace is strange to the Bible. Very, very strange. Somebody rejected huge amount of money. It was a dash, an award. He said, no, I don't believe in what those people are doing. That is what many of us who say we are born again, that is what we are pursuing and running after by hook or crook. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How many of us will say this year, if God delivers me, fine. But if God does not deliver me, I will not accept deliverance from Satan. If God helps me, fine. But if God does not help me, I will not receive help from the devil. If God heals me, fine. But if God does not heal me, I will not accept healing from Satan. We now have many pastors who are fetish,
who go to the houses of herbalists to make juju.
And a lot of us are following them because we are following fake visions, fake signs and wonders all over the place.
Jesus Christ said, an evil and adulterous generation seek for signs.
Please be careful. Another year is started. Let us look ahead.
And as you look ahead, what can you see?
See the ultimate. The ultimate is that when Jesus Christ comes, you will not be rejected.
Please bow down your heads and let us pray.